Welcome to the Bare Essentials Podcast, a short and sweet and sometimes spicy weekly peek into the journey of Christian parenting. Now, here are your guides, the founders of Bear and Squirrel, Charlie and Christina Matz.
I am Charlie Matz, and I'm sitting next to my beautiful wife, Christina, and we're here to share our journey with you. We have four children, ages 9, 5, 2, and 6 weeks, fresh out the gate. We're in the trenches, and we deeply care about your children. And we care about our children, of course. Duh. We hope that by sharing our journey through parenting, it might shed light on what God's doing in your journey. So this week, we're going to talk about post-baby number 4 the past 6 weeks. Last week, we talked about Christina's experience. And what are you smelling the mic for?
I swear. This is what happens when you have 4 kids. There's, like, I keep getting these random whiffs of, like, I don't know, something that happened in our living room, and I can't figure out what it is.
This is, wow. Yeah,
just watching it's her. Not the mic, though.
Well, we've checked that off the list. Who knows what it could be? We got people running around with all kinds of fluids on
this
them.
This is what happens when you was 6 weeks old. Maybe I got spit up on, and I don't even know it.
Well, that could be the case. There's also a... there's all kinds of things around here that it could be. So anyway, this is sharing our journey. This is not planned, but you're getting a peek at it audibly speaking. So this week we're talking about part 2.
Yes.
My experience over the last 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Baby number 4 has been kind of rough. It's been tough. You've been sick. He's been crying. He's been feeding, going to the bathroom, things you can expect. But yeah, throw some curveballs at me. Hit me with some hard ones.
Questions. You said, he's been crying. He is a touch louder than some of our other kids have been. And he's on top of 3 other kids who are relatively loud.
He's on top of them? We sleep stack. We stack sleep.
Well, when you guys wrestle, you all stack on top of each other. I mean, he will eventually be the one on top of the pile. It's Daisy true. Right now, yeah. But you guys, they all are very loud. We have loud children. I'm a loud person.
Everyone's loud but me here.
Yeah, Charlie, my poor introverted husband. I'm raising a bunch of extroverts. So what has that been like for you, the adjustment to the noise?
Wow, that's been hard, honestly. I mean, it almost feels like the other 3 got louder somehow at the same time. And then JR, he's just loud. He's like a cranky little man trapped in a baby's body. And
he has like a little man face, too. He doesn't look like a little
He, like, newborn. Yells and gets angry. He literally gets angry. I have never had a baby that got as angry as he does. And we got spoiled with the last 2. The last 2 were very calm while they were babies. And, you know, so I think...
Good that you threw that out there.
Exactly.
They're not...
You know, overall... I'd say everyone, you know, in public is well behaved and calm. It's just inside the house, you know. It's I think when you train your children and you are disciplining them and you are doing what you hope is right in that discipline and putting in that time, typically they tend to behave in public and you get a lot of compliments on that. It's when the doors close and there's familiarity inside the house, it gets noisy and you're giving disciplines and you're dealing with with behavior issues from time to time. So, you know, I think that on top of the fact that there's more noise with the baby, it's been hard for me. I think, you know, one of the things I did when I was younger, I think, is retreated from that and tried to just escape, find ways of escaping, just leaving or, you know, being at work longer, just even subconsciously doing things that I think are wrong. And, it's avoiding the issue. And I think the more mature me, I still have a long way to go, but I'm more mature than I was when we had 1, is learning how to face it and, you know, try to be slow to speak and definitely slow to anger in the house. But the problem is you make mistakes. And, you know, one of the things that I think it's an opportunity for me is with the other 3, and this is at any point in life, with whether you have kids or you don't, is learning to apologize in front of people, especially when you're their leader. I'm the leader of these other 3 children and they see me get frustrated. And then I have to come up to them later and say, hey, I'm sorry. Shouldn't have reacted that way. Shouldn't have talked that way. And I think if I'm looking at the silver lining, I'm definitely growing. through this. I mean, it's one of the hardest things for me. I literally have it in my prayer journal to pray so that I can be more graceful when my wife doesn't feel well. Because when my wife is sick, I don't do well with that. I'm the protector. I'm somebody who's put in her life to help her. And when she's in pain, I don't do well with that, especially for a long extended period of time. So, you know, she's been sick pretty constantly since the baby was born. And that seeing her not get sleep, continue to be sick, be run down, still trying to serve our family and our church and everywhere else, it's been hard for me to watch and to be a part of. But I think it's grown me in some way. My prayers are being answered. I'm getting better at watching you go through what's just normal life. You know, yeah. People get sick, people have a hard time, and I have to learn to just support you in that. And you've told me before, sometimes the greatest thing I can do for you is to just be joyful.
Amen.
And I'm learning.
No, absolutely. Well, you know, I know, like you said, there's been times where you've gotten frustrated and you've had to apologize, but there have been a lot of moments where, you know, there's a lot of chaos in the house and there's a lot going on just because maybe all the little people are trying to talk to us at the same time, or they all have something exciting to share, or they're all crying because who knows why sometimes. And I've seen you be incredibly patient and incredibly gracious with them. And even like today, our 2-year-old was just having a hard time after her nap, and you were so sweet with her and you were calm, and you know, you had her sit with you and you got her some food. And what is it in those moments that is helping you to stay focused and to be so patient and so sweet with the kids?
I think it's because I've been more disciplined at praying for the fact that we're not raising kids, we're raising adults. We are raising these little people to be young men and women for the Lord. And this is ministry. Like, this is what I signed up for. This is what I asked for. It'd be like going and enlisting in the military, and then you're complaining the whole time that you're, you know, you're in Iraq.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a good soldier, you don't do that. You knew what you were getting into. And I think the same thing with these children is, in those moments when I have clarity, it's because I'm thinking of heaven. I'm thinking on eternal things. I'm thinking of Jesus and the fact that I am in that moment either being a good steward of the gift that these children he's given me, or I'm being a bad steward. And that goes so deep because they're also watching me and learning how to handle hard situations. I am, you know, imprinting on them a way to behave amidst chaos, because inevitably it's not easy for anyone. I don't care if you're an introvert or extrovert, when someone's crying in your face and they're hysterical and they're being, you know, disobedient, that's hard.
Yeah.
And so I think the older I get and the more I can go through this, the more I realize that those moments are the moments. Those mm-hmm. moments are the moments I've been praying about. Those aren't the ones that I have to get through to get to the good stuff. That is the moment. And that's an application that goes for anything in life. You know, all of us have these times in our day where we think we need to get past this to get to the good stuff.
Yeah.
When in reality, the stuff you're trying to get past is probably what God has there for you to grow you, just like James talks about.
Absolutely. Those moments are where we deepen our intimacy with the Lord, because our dependence on him is so clear and in our face. And one kind of big last question, you know, this is our fourth child, but our second son. And when we had our first son, I mean, I know that's a big thing, fathers and their sons. We parented a lot differently. I mean, Charlie and I always had such a huge desire and focus on biblical parenting. But to be honest, it wasn't until about 4 years ago when we came to our current church, which is Compass Bible Church in Aliso, shout out, where we really started to get very clear, practical wisdom on what it means to parent biblically. And that has, I mean, changed the trajectory of our parenting immensely. It's a really kingdom impact that the pastor and his wife there are doing. But that being said, we are different as parents today, praise the Lord, than we were, you know, 9 years ago when our first son was born. So what are some things that you think about as a father? Here you have another son that you want to do from day one that you didn't get to do and be as intentional about until later on in life?
That's a great question, and I love it because it's good to remember that some of the things that we have ahas on and we feel like we're getting a little more down weren't always the case. I mean, we have failed miserably early on in our marriage at doing certain things with our kids, and by the grace of God, we've been able to gain some wisdom from great teachers and through experience, honestly. I think it's a twofold answer, though. One is kind of the second answer first, which is I need to be really careful actually not to lean fully into JR and not David. I need to do that with them together because I don't need David to feel like this is my chance to do it right. I mean, that's a horrible way to make somebody feel, and it's not even the way I feel. I feel like some of the things that I've learned over the years that I wish I would have done different with David have actually caused great discussions between him and I and growing in that. I think the thing that I'll do better or different is just share everything. You know, I think I've been really compartmentalized in my life. I'm a guy who likes organization and I like clean lines and I like well thought out plans. And I think for me, raising children was like, you know, a business plan or a process for me when I first got into this with David. But I realize now it's about just sharing every experience, and they're little disciples. They're people who are just soaking in everything, and everything is a teaching point and a conversation. And, you know, so I think that's the key in pursuing those things, pursuing to have those kind of experiences together where, and I think the other part of that is just also being more intimate. You know, the tendency with boys is to be less intimate and with girls to be more. And I definitely found that that's my tendency. So I just have to be really careful to make sure that I'm not just like this intimate father with JR and I'm suddenly like more intimate with him than David. I need to share that experience with both of them.
Because what's funny is if you think, you know, we do have the tendency to think, oh, girls are more affectionate, but our son, actually, David, is such a tender heart and such a sweet boy, and his love language is definitely affection, even more so than our two little independent girls who might want to give you a hug when they feel like it, but they're kind of off doing their own thing, and he'll snuggle with us all day long. So it's a good point you bring up, never to assume that because it's a boy, they don't want that.
We're going to keep going until we make a girl who wants to snuggle until she's at least 12. At least 12. I get that after that, it's, you know, probably not going to happen, but at least 12. So we'll see you next week. Thank you for joining us.
That's it for this week's edition of Bear Essentials. Remember to follow us on social or visit bear-squirrel.com to find storybook resources for godly instruction. If you have an essential you'd like to see addressed on a future show, please write us at podcast@bear-squirrel.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week with a brand new show.